Good morning.
Now what? Now what? A few days ago when we stood here on the weekend of the 31st and Linda and I spoke together as a tag team, we did not discuss what we were going to do. Conceptually, we understand where we're going because we're pretty much on the same page at certain times on some of these things. But it was an unusual thing of the emphasis and the emphasis. And I waited for the last part to say what I thought my emphasis would be as we came into the brand new year. We've got a brand new year. We sing those songs, but rarely does anything new happen. We make the resolutions, but rarely does anything happen there. We get started out of the box. How many of you, how this is why on the 31st and on the 1st, your TV is inundated with the Jenny Craig ads. This is inundated, and you can go low and do that. How many of you had every fiber, I'm going to do that tomorrow? Well, here we are a few weeks later. I'm not going to ask because it'll be a walk of shame. I understand that right now. And I said, what's the thing I want to emphasize? And she actually set me up for it. And remember when we went away with the concept, look to Jesus. Look to the Word. Look to Jesus. Look to the Word. In diagnosing our lives, in diagnosing situations, in diagnosing the things of this world, maybe that we do not understand, that's a real key there, looking to Jesus and looking to the Word. And it's so important. And many times when you see that there has been a problem in your life, in my life, in what's going on, it's because we've neglected that thing in our life of looking to Jesus and looking to the Word. It's no longer the hot thing in front of us, but other things move in and crowd it out. You know, the scripture talks about when the different levels of seed and the different response to the seed. The seed is good. We understand that concept. But it says through the passage of time and through the process of life, things come in to squeeze off the life. Those are the circumstances and the things in our lives. And it squeezes us off and it nullifies the power of the seed. And in our life, when we feel that we've hit a roadblock or there is a problem, it's very important to do a self-diagnosis. The scripture talks about that. That's in the scripture. It's even in the communion scripture. Let a man self-diagnose. Let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. And that's in the Word. That's why in the communion it comes up on a regular basis. But if we neglect the things and the Word of the Lord God, we're going to find ourselves in a problem. For example, in prayer. And we talked about praying without ceasing. Spurgeon said it this way. 9 times out of 10, falling away from God begins in the neglect of private prayer. If the only thing of prayer and worship is coming out of your mouth on a small segment of time on Sunday mornings, you are not going to be powerful to cope, to walk, to remain strong and stable and secure. 9 out of 10, falling away from God begins with a neglect of private prayer. Now, let's not neglect the Word. You know what to do. Everybody stand up. Take the Word. Hold it up high. Let's make our affirmation. We will make this. We're going to make this until the horn blows, all right? We say it together and make it strong. Ready? This Word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. Stop. Can we get that in our heads? This Word is wise. Say it again. This Word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. One more time. This Word is wise. Get it in there. Everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Why are we keep saying this over and over? Because the Word is wise. What are we trying to do? Get it in our heads. We've lived our lives, religious people, with the Word of God under glass like a fire alarm, only break in case of emergency. And we wonder why we're powerless. Keep praying. Be seated in Jesus' name. How strong is the Word? Why do we have the Word? Romans 15 says it this way. I like the English Standard Version that makes this statement. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. That through, it looks like Russian up there. Let me read it for you. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance. How many of you know, why did he put that in there? Why did he put that in there? That through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Is that wise? Read it with me again. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. You can't do better than that. Thank you. God bless you. Drive safe. We're talking about standing, stability, and security. Those of you who weren't here last week, let me take just a moment to apologize. I made a public apology last week in front of the congregation that was here. Because when we left the New Year's Eve service, I left you with this. It's very bad out there, and it's going to get worse. God bless you. Happy New Year. And I really felt bad because I woke up the next day. I said, you know, you could have done a little better. You know, you could have done a little Dale Carnegie or something. You could have set it up and been a little bit nicer. Now, so let me tell you, I sat down, and I was under condemnation that I wasn't a little bit sunnier to you starting a brand new year. Everybody's singing the songs, and here I am. I'm supposed to have the word in my mouth, and I'm telling you it's going to get worse. Go home. God bless you. Here's what I wrote. I'm going to read it again. I wrote it for last week. Let me tell you what I really believe. I believe the Lord. I believe the Lord Jehovah. I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe in the Lord of heaven's armies. I believe in the King of Kings. I believe in the Lord of Lords. I believe in the bright and morning star. I believe in the only wise God, and that he is fully engaged in the lives of his covenant children. Now, when I use the word covenant, I remember this quote. Now, I found it to put right here in this spot. What do you believe? What kind of God do you? Do you believe in God? Oh, I believe in God. No, really, really, do you believe in God? The famous traditional Methodist catechism makes this affirmation where you are told to say, yes, I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. I believe that. I believe that. And then I added something else then. Here's the second part of the paragraph. But, I'm changing direction. I also believe that one day he will say, enough is enough. I believe he will split the sky. I believe every tear will be dried. I believe every question will be answered. I believe that all accounts will be settled in the twinkling of an eye. So the forecast for the new year is sunny. No, I'm not crazy. But until then, I also believe that things are rough, and I believe things will get worse. But if I know the front part, the word tells me the front part and it tells me the last part. If I read that right that we read in Romans a minute ago, it is there so that I might have hope. If I can do anything, I want to give you hope. Walk around this planet and be purveyors of hope. It's so easy to do the other thing. And it's very easy. And there's actually a camaraderie in woe is me. There's a camaraderie with everything. But let there be a hope. But God. I'm not crazy. I believe God. But things are going to get worse. How does that work together? It does. Psalm 11. This is where we'll be for this entire month. Psalm 11, verse 1. David gets off the bus. Here's what he says the first thing when he opens his mouth. I trust in the Lord for protection. For protection. For protection. I'm giving you hope. New King James right there says, in the Lord, I will put my trust. And then after he makes that affirmation, he gives the lay of the land of what's going on. And it's not very rosy. He said, so why do they say to me, fly like a bird to the mountains for safety? The wicked are stringing their bows. They're fitting their arrows on bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows. Secretly, A lot of things going on in our world right now are done in secret right now and in spiritual wickedness in high places right now. We're actually living through the very embodiment of that right now. If I told you the evil that's going on right now, you really wouldn't sleep. There are times I have to say, Lord, I'm going to be like David. I'm going to trust in you for my protection. The conniving that's going on. If you just had a clue of that and you can't walk around, oh, I don't want to hear la, 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 la. You can't do that. You need to be informed. You need to know so that when the wind comes, you can stay strong. They shoot from the shadows. That means in secret. Now, who do they shoot at? This is what we're living in right now. At those whose hearts are right. Now, that has never changed. Got it? So don't think it's only you at this time. David one time was having a conversation. He had numerous conversations with God. And he said, God, I need to ask you a real question here. I'm your boy. I'm your praiser. I'm your musician. I'm good. I'm really good. You remember that giant? Yeah, you helped do that, but I'm the boy that went out and took the initiative, and they were all hiding behind the trees. I'm your man, God. He said, I love you, God. He said, but let me ask you a question. It looks like my enemies are doing better than I am. And his question was, why is this? Why are they laughing at me? Why are they ridiculing me? They shoot from the shadows at those whose hearts are right. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Then verse 3 is really the verse that grabbed me when I started working on this entire month. He said, and the foundations of law and order have collapsed. And he asked that question, and he's asking it for himself and the covenant people. What can the righteous do? The New King James says it this way. He said, so if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We are living in a time. I mentioned it for just a moment last week, but let me, because I'm building the whole month. We are living in a time on every level where the foundations are in the process of being destroyed on every level. Give me a subject, and I can tell you in certain areas. Have you ever said things are so different right now? The world's a different place right now. The evil's kicking up. It's getting louder right now. It's getting louder in our ears. It's a different world in which we lived in right now. I remember being 9 and 10 years old, and on a Saturday, they didn't want to fool with me. And my father put me in the car and took me to the corner of Elysian Fields in Gentilly. And the Fox Theater was right there on the corner right there. And he gave me a dollar. He said, I'll see you in 4 hours. Go watch both movies. Go get you something to eat. Then you'd watch another one a little bit longer than that. There weren't crazy people with raincoats drifting around grabbing little children. Because if they did, the one adult that worked there would probably just beat them up right there. Linda's mom would say, don't come in until the streetlights are on. How many of you rode, Linda, and she told me as a little kid, I'd ride my bike up, and she told me it was miles away to some of the KB and all these other stores. I'd ride up and do other, they never worried about us. You can't do that anymore. It is a different time. The moorings on everything, the moorings on your life have been destroyed. Anything that can be upset is where this is going. Boy, I wish I had more time because I can enumerate on it and I can give you specifics right now. Let's take music. I talked about music for a minute. You listen to class. I think I said last week. Somebody said vinyl really sounds great. Vinyl sounds great for yes, it might in the technical part of it, but vinyl sounds great because the music was better. Now, I know every generation thinks the music is better, but at least every other generation had the components. Linda said, I need to talk a little more about this, on the concepts of melody, harmony, and rhythm. And when those things get out of balance, you're hearing that thing that it's out of balance there. When the words don't make sense, when the sound is a sound of anarchy, these are all things to shake things up. You watch on the television, entertainment, right? The family unit is not the family unit that you understand. Even those who didn't name the name of Jesus years and years ago, because at least there was a foundation. Where do you think that came from? Where did the laws come from? There had to be an... So the everything, if they can destroy of what that look... I read early this morning, by the way, somebody shot it down. Thank God somebody had some sense in Australia that they were trying to make a law that birth certificates would not fill in the sex of the child until it could later be determined. I'm going to tell you how to determine it. You pull that little sucker out, and you turn it over, and you've seen what's been determined right there. You got that right there. You got that right there. You don't have to go to school to figure that out. Imagine that somebody shot that down, God bless. But to even that, see, we are to the point now where everything goes. Everything goes. History's being erased and rewritten. By the way, some of our history is very, very bad. It's uncomfortable to even look at. That's why we need to look at it. That's why we need to look at it. It's as simple as it hurts when you do that, but don't do that anymore. The Bible says we learn, we read these things and we learn by the examples of those who went before us. Not just in the kingdom, but the bad examples of those who turned. If you do this, it's going to hurt. It's not good. Traditions are being destroyed right now. I'd love to see a commercial for a national hotel chain or a vacation place where there's families and they're doing it without the two little fellas toasting each other on the edge of the bed there. That's not normal. My God. If you can change what the dad is, what the mom is, and the respect of the teacher. Yeah, there's some bad teachers there. But I know some of you have taught and you've put in the lives of people. We've got an NEA. We've got these unions that are against the traditional American family. And not forget American. Forget that. The God unit family. The God unit family. Normal is being ridiculed. It's undermined. It's been recast. By the way, you want to destroy a building? You want to destroy a nation? You start by destroying a person. And you attack the foundation. And only the righteous can fix this. That's why David asked it that way. He knew that the righteous foundation, that was the mooring that we all needed right now. In our lives, in our nation, at every turn, God's trying to get our attention. I certainly believe that. I believe God might be smacking us around a little bit right now for our foolishness right now. But sometimes in a spirit of stupid even comes on God's people right now. But when you destroy every mooring, you break it away, you begin to think, well, there is no truth. We make it up as we go, as your word encouraged, and as Linda encouraged me early this morning about the foundation of the word. I think this is probably one of the most profound things I've ever seen written. You can't fix stupid, but you can numb it with a 2x4. That's what a country guy said. That's a little country logic for you right there. Did you ever hear the old story about the old country guy? And he was really skeptical about the world and things like that. And he didn't want to fool with banks. And he lived out in the country and he didn't trust any of them. And he goes to the bank one day and he's been sent a check in the mail. And he goes to the bank and he goes to the little window and the little bars there and the old bank and he hands his check. He said, I want more money. And the guy says, well, you got to sign the check. He said, I'm not signing anything. He said, I want my money. He said, you can't. You got to sign it if you want. I'm not signing anything. So finally put it, he said, I want my money. Finally, the teller reaches through the bars and grabs him by the collars, and he starts pulling him against the bar. Boom, 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 boom. He said, I said, sign the check. And the old guy says, well, thanks for explaining it to me, he said. God might be trying to explain some things to us right now. We need, in every part of our walk, we need the wisdom. The word is wise wisdom. When we say it is the foundation of my life, that is our foundation. That's our starting point. How do we remain strong? How do we stand when things are blowing up all around us? How do we remain stable? How do we remain secure even in the midst of foolishness? It all depends on our foundation. It all depends on our foundation. So when I ask you the question, now what? Here's now what. We need this wise word more than ever. We need wisdom that is built on word truth. Jesus said it in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What does that mean? Set them apart, safe and secure, as the old timers used to sing, from all alarm. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is thy truth? Thy word is truth. We feel this. We know it. We look at things going on. There is, I don't know about you, but it bothers me when things are stirring in me like that, and I don't think I know what to do about that right now. I think a lot of us are that way right now. What is that? That's that thing inside of us. Something is stirring. We don't know. What and who do we look to? What do we hold on to? Well, I believe things are being shaken. Things are being shaken. Don't you be one of the ones that are shaken. Oswald Chambers, in his famous devotional book, said it this way. The sign that God is at work in us is that he is destroying our confidence in the natural virtues, because they are not promises of what we are going to be, but only a wasted reminder of what God created man to be. That's a strong word. He wrote that, but he didn't make that up himself. He actually probably closed the book when he was writing and remembered when Paul started talking about, he said, I am a covenant man. I am and I worship God in the Spirit. I rejoice in Jesus Christ. And the line that's the cell line in Philippians 3:3 says, and we have no confidence in the flesh. If you understand that, you might be stirred, but you won't be shaken. So now what? In most cases, the problem starts by missing the first priority, and it is the foundation of the Word of God. See, because everything starts on foundations. David could have left it if the foundations are destroyed, all bets are off. He could have, like a country song, that's all she wrote. If the foundation, let me ask you, as things get worse, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to cry? Maybe a bit. Are you going to run? Are you going to hide? Or are you just going to quit? Who are you going to quit to? I mean, how do you go to God and turn in your resignation? God, I quit. When I see foolishness that's going on right now, there's a couple passages, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament comes to me. When I see all the foolishness that's going on right now and the people making their plans, what's going on, I'm reminded of Psalm chapter 2 where it makes the statement, and God watches them and God laughs. God laughs. God laughs. And then I'm reminded the word in Romans where it says, presuming they are wise, they have become utter fools. It's in the word. So I am strong. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to be smart. You know, I understand when Jesus said turn the other cheek, but he did not say lean into a right hook. I know you need to be smart. You need to protect your house, protect your kids, protect your food supply, protect your money and your finances, because all it's going to take is one satellite shot down, and you're not going to go anywhere. Your car won't start. There'll be other, you won't hear media. You won't hear any of those things like that. And we need to know, what will the righteous do? The righteous will be strong. The righteous will speak. The righteous will be smart. I pray the righteous have illumination far beyond what others understand, that things will come to you and you'll know exactly what to do. Only the righteous can fix this. David's mindset then should teach us now. David's mindset then should teach us now. He said, if the foundation are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Knowing that God is powerful doesn't mean you deny what's going on. So here's David. He's talked about, here's what's going on. He doesn't stay there long. That's a key for you. Verse 4 pops up. But, getting ready to change direction. But the Lord is in his holy temple. I love that. He's still in his holy temple. And the implication here, he's not phased. He's not panicking. He's not worried. He's not saying, oh, me. He's not afraid. And the Lord still rules from heaven. We've heard those scriptures. The Lord, he rules in the affairs of men. If we can get this, and he's paying attention, He watches everyone closely, examining every person on earth. The Lord examines, which means he's paying attention. He examines both the righteous and the wicked. Oh, by the way, God is love. You hear that today? God doesn't hate. Yeah, he does. God hates. What does he hate? He hates those who love violence. So when you see things being done on people, whole populations being wiped out, things in the sky, things in your food, things coming through the box, through your eyes, through your ears. So the question is, how do we tell them apart? By the way, how do we know what's good? You can tell by their appetites. You can tell by their appetites what their foundation is. See, this is a foundation word. Why? Because the word changes people. The word changes things. This word is truth, and it should make a difference in our lives. How many of you remember the old Sunday night hymn we used to sing? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Remember the next line? Since Jesus came into my heart. Can I ask you a question? Was there really a change? What a wonderful change. Was there really a change? Or was it a momentary feel-good-ism that was just a happy little? The change must go deep and take place. Something must happen. Something must happen when we allow the word to change our lives. Some of you in your lives, your testimony is one, maybe as a child, you heard God's word and you were touched. Others of you, you lived your life, you made one mistake after another. You were lost, you were lonely, you were bitter, you were awful. And maybe through a person, maybe through a song, maybe through a word, something happened to you and you change. What a change has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I see people now that will quote the word and quote theology, but I don't see changes there. I still see the bitterness. I still see the rancor. I still see the foolishness there right now. Spurgeon said it this way: if your theology doesn't change your behavior, it'll never change your destiny. If your theology doesn't change your behavior, it will never change your destiny. Because our foundations speak of strength, safety, and security, the ability to handle a load. This is why some Christians, they love the Lord, but they can't do anything. They're flighty Christians. You ever know? And we know some, like all of you. You know, they're in left field. They got the power, and the next day they're just giving it all up. They're not strong and safe. You get flighty Christians when you're not on a strong foundation of the Word. They might have been born. A lot of Christians are born. They've prayed the prayer, but they've not gone on laying the foundation. That's more next week, a little bit further. They were born, but they weren't taught anything else. They weren't fed. They weren't burped when they needed it right now. The strength of the foundation decides how big, how wide, how high you can go. And you don't go wide, you don't go big, you don't go high unless you go deep first. That's the foundation of the word. This is where he works best. And hell still doesn't get it. He works in the deep. 1 Corinthians, Paul said it this way in verse 2. But the rulers of this world do not understand this, because if they had, they would not have crucified the glorious Lord. And that is what the scriptures, and I, by the way, at the word scriptures right there, I actually put in verse 9, I actually put why scriptures right in front there. I wrote that in my notes. The why scriptures mean, so we look to the word. When they say, now listen to this, that's what the scriptures mean. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love them. But, who's this for? Verse 10. But it was to us. Elbow somebody and say, that's me, thank you. It was to us that God revealed these things. Remember, we talked about discernment, knowing the difference, through his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. New King James right there says, shows you the deep things of God. Where does it come from? His word and his Spirit. No one, and then he uses the natural word. No one can know a person's thought except that a person's own spirit, and he can understand that. And so, therefore, no one can know God's thought except through or by God's own spirit. Jesus Christ in his words, the prophets through their words, the apostles in the scriptures, they told us this. He is coming, but he's the only foundation. Here's what you need to know. Here's some hit and runs. Our God is the foundation of everything. Isaiah 28 says this. Watch. I'm going to give you four right now. Isaiah 28 says this. Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. That's why we got Zion. I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. And this translation says, a sure foundation. And whoever believes on this and builds on this will not act hastily. Psalm 87, 1. His righteous foundation is in the holy mountains. Psalm 89, 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. That's in praise. And mercy and truth go before your face. Psalm 97, 2. The clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Our God is a God of foundation. Everything he built is on foundation. And speaking of built, do you realize our God built this earth on a foundation? Where you're sitting right now, even when this was prophetically spoken before people really understood the world and what God created right there, there's still people believe that it's flat. True story. They got one of the publicity pieces, the Flat Earth Society, and it said with members all around the globe, it says underneath there. He built this on foundations. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all who dwell there. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Isaiah 48. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. Hebrews 1. And yes, you, Lord, in the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Revelation closes out by making a statement, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life that was slain from the foundation of the world. You're hooked into something that has foundation. And I love God. God's fun. I like to see the fun things there. I think there's some real laughter. I think there's real joy there to kind of, and the laughter is to disarm your fear, is to relax you a little bit. It's like when you're dealing with one of your kids and you're trying to divert them while they're getting that doctor thing going on, or you're trying to divert them right now. I like what God and Job, this thing's going on, and I love God's statement. Job 38, he said, I just want to ask you, all you experts. Job 38, 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? Tell me if you have some understanding of this. One translation says, tell me if you know so much. He's not alarmed. He's not shaken. But he expects us to build on the foundation. He stepped onto this earth preaching the importance of a proper foundation. Gave us the word in Luke 6 about foundations. I'm going to deal with that next week. The house that didn't shake was founded on rock. The house that shook was on sand. By the way, built by a foolish man. My question is, do you really mean it when you say, it is the foundation of my life? It is the foundation of my life. It's the foundation of my life. And when the shaking gets stronger, when the shooting gets more pronounced, when the struggle gets worse, I find myself falling on the words of history that have stood the test of time. His name was Edward Mote. He loved the Lord. In 1834, he started writing some verses. And the original title for his verses, listen to this, The Immutable Basis for a Sinner's Hope. The Immutable Basis for a Sinner's Hope. It's a refrain that over and over that refers to the parable of the wise and the foolish builders. That's next week. And it's around the metaphor and the concept that Jesus Christ is the rock-hard foundation that we build on. Edward Mote, in The Immutable Basis for a Sinner's Hope, said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." By the way, over time, there's a passage, they feel that possibly that first word where it says, "than Jesus' blood and righteousness," that there might have been another phrase there that said, "than Jesus Christ, my righteousness." I'll take them both. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, the sweet-sounding words. Go this way, we're going to take care of you. Do this, go away from that. That's all foolishness. That's old. See, that's a mindset. Even like you listen to music, as I said a minute ago, and we listen to Christian music right now. Where are the classics? Where are the things that have withstood the test of time? Where are the books? Your books. Linda and I were talking about. I miss walking through a bookstore, holding something in my. The hours I spent in a record store doing that. That was my sociology project. Looking at these things that they want to take. Now they don't. You don't need to own anything anymore. They play on the convenience. They play on the convenience of that. They're breaking away the common. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. So you know the chorus, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground, Edward Mote lifted it from that scripture. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm going to read three verses to you. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. An anchor's got to be on a foundation. Listen to this, talking about who he is. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. Are you there right now? When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. There's even a hope for your future, kids. Edward Mote knew it in 1834 when things were going crazy around him. And he's telling, it's never been like this before. And we had to look forward to something bigger and greater, where the word says, when he shall come. Remember what I said? I believe one day he's going to say, enough's enough. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found ready, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. So sing the refrain. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Paul told the young man in 2 Timothy 2, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows who are his. Those who remain faithful, who set themselves apart. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's New Testament. But it all comes from the question asked by our favorite king. If the foundations are destroyed, what can righteous do? Here's what they do. They will keep digging. They will keep growing. They will keep seeking righteousness. They will keep speaking his name. They will keep ourselves clean. They will look to Jesus, and they will look to the Word. Next week, we pick up on that story about the builder. Stand to your feet. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for your blessings. A lot of work to do. Foundation takes planning, takes digging. Next week, I'm even going to mention the fact that, it's important what kind of supplies you put in your foundation. A lot of people still suing folks because they built their houses and they put some drywall in there that was flawed. It looked good. Good price. It looked good. They painted it. There it is. It's there. But a few weeks later, tears are running from their eyes. There's a pink pattern developing on the wall there. Something flawed is there. We look at these things all this month as we talk about the foundation, as we look to Him, as we look to His Word. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Be giving an assignment. This week in your private devotion time, I would encourage you, maybe perhaps you need to go online. You need to buy a hymn book. I have some recommendations. Maybe next week I'll show you some hymn books. But I would encourage you to get some of those and read some of these lyrics. These lyrics that have withstood the test of time. And maybe format-wise it doesn't fit exactly the way we might sing today. Actually, we don't have the vocabulary to sing some of the songs they used to sing there. Because a lot of songs today are so dummied down. But if you read the depth and the breadth of what people poured out, and you can actually use that as a springboard for your devotion. Maybe and a lot of the hymn books will have a scripture, maybe where it came from. This will help you as you look to Jesus and as you look to His Word and as you grow, as you build the foundation. I honor you today. I bless you today. It's going to be okay. You stay in the Word. You keep speaking faith. You keep looking. All around your soul gives way. Just go, yeah, He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. And you can do this. Next week, we talk about building and the difference of the materials and the foundations that we build on, right hands. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May He grant you peace. May He lift up His countenance upon you. May He bring blessing to you. Joy moments, laughter moments, idea moments this week. New connections right now. New ideas in finance. New ideas in how to take care of your family. New ideas. God, what's your word saying right now? What direction do I go? I believe that. Keep speaking that. Don't ever come out of that. Don't ever come out the prayer of agreement. Don't come out of that. Don't stop. Just like we keep praying for Bruce, you keep praying for you, your family. Say it over and over again. Don't get tired of saying it, because God does not get tired of hearing it. He leans in when we call on Him. The Lord bless you.